Hello, my friends. This is Patricia Corey, and you're listening to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that invites you to get out of the box of conventional thinking and soar in the free thought zone. Whew, getting harder and harder to reach it, but here we are, intent upon it. The free thought zone of, well, beyond everything that is contained and limited and inside that box. So welcome to the show. Today I'm going to be without a guest because I'm inviting all of you to call in. Let's get talking. Let's start talking about some of the really important issues. Ha! Like, which ones do we choose? There are so many important ones, but there are certainly a lot of important issues that are getting strange coverage or slanted journalism from the mainstream and not enough coverage from the alternative stream, if that's what I call it. So we're here to talk about, geez, we're going to start about vaccinations and forced vaccinations, and that is really something that is, pardon the pun, up my nose. Before I get started, here are the numbers for calling in. So please get a pen and write down these numbers. If you're in Canada or the U.S., there's a toll-free number, and it is 888-815-9756. If you're outside the States but have one of those really good lines where you can call in for cheapy, here's the number, 001-530-327-7602. Now, I'm hoping there are a lot of you out there. I know the Facebook friends have gotten the message to tune in today. Tell your friends, email some people. Let's get a very active conversation going on some of the questions, some of the concerns that we're all extremely interested in. And the first one will be talking about vaccinations. So I'm going to open up from the beginning for callers. I'm asking you to take that step. Let's get in touch with each other, and let's blow this out of the water. All right, well, obviously we are all very aware of the big, big hype, big concern about the new pandemic, which we don't have to stretch our minds to consider as very potentially a bio-warfare-created little number that has been shared with us by the powers in unseen places. And we are being promoted into believing, first of all, that we've got to cross the finish line to be the first ones to turn up our sleeves and get jabbed so that we can be protected while others may not be. And I'd like to talk about that and get rid of this, well, at least shed light on how what this mechanism is. So it does seem to be, unfortunately, still the tendency of human nature that when we are convinced to believe that there's a shortage of something, we run and we hoard and we put ourselves first in line to get it. And that's great marketing if you want to vaccinate a population. Let them think that there's a shortage and that only the select few will be able to have this wonderful product, and everybody goes running to get it. We look at the Tamiflu, the first wave of Tamiflu that came out. And by the way, if you haven't done your homework, hello, who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Nathaniel from California.
Hello. What have you got to add to my tip on the vaccine situation?
You know, the swine flu, and there could be a numerous other outbreaks in, you know, the meat production or salmonella and quite a number of different arenas.
Yeah, well, we do. Well, are you a vegetarian, Daniel?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so am I. So my first comment is, you know, all the more reason for people to seriously start considering letting go of the meat in their lives because of so many reasons, but definitely because we now know there are an immense amount of toxins and viruses, antibiotics, and all kinds of horrible things that you're ingesting with the meat.
Yeah, it's actually kind of hard to talk about. If you talk about, like, you know, swine flu, and actually I think the pigs have 80% of them have pneumonia anyway.
That's right. And also, according to what I've read, there is really no proof that this flu does come from pigs. Have you found that out, too?
I didn't know that.
Well, it seems like some very interesting biochemists are suggesting that it is not like anything that would be in nature, and that it very, very, very likely is a constructed.
A lot of us realize that it really could kill off millions of people. A lot of people don't. I'm not sure. You know, the government, you know, may know, and there's other, you know, people, but it really could. They could put a stop on stuff, but I guess they try to stop all that. But
on the other hand, it might not really be that millions of people are going to die, and that this is all kind of a hype. Because let's ask you a question. I mean, we keep being told that so many people are afflicted, so many people are dying, but where are the records here?
I'd like to be a skeptic,
but I'd like to suggest that maybe we're not getting the truth on this.
It might be a good way to sell vaccines, and out of fear is actually what they're, trying to make you, be afraid of it, so I don't know.
Well, there you go. And would we like to talk about the toxins that are in this? Let's talk about the toxins that are in the vaccine. You've got mercury, a known neurotoxin. One microgram is considered toxic, and we don't know how. I think there are 25 micrograms of mercury going into each jab. Mercury and all its compounds are toxic. They expose exposure to them create excessive levels that can injure the brain and the kidneys. That's just for starters.
These children on TV, when they squirt up their nose, they really look like they've been betrayed by their parents or something, because they don't have a pleasant look on their face.
No, they don't. Do you have children?
No, but I noticed. I saw the news. And they were squirting, children with the vaccine, and shooting them up their nose. And, boy, they sure did cry and everything,
Oh, how terrible. Well, I'd like to suggest that to parents that before you line your child up to get this flu vaccine, know what's in it. And I'm going to be talking about that now, about what ingredients, what toxic cocktail is in this supposed vaccine. So... do you have any other comments that then you'd like to add?
Yes, I didn't know. It's just that there's really a lot of toxins in all we drink. I found a soda that actually didn't have it had zero calories and zero sugar and everything like that. I think it was a new I found it at the health food market. And like just sodas have 39 grams of just a little can, and that makes your immune system go down, and so does the antibiotics and a lot of other stuff. And we're just letting our guard down to just get real sick if you don't really take care of yourself.
Yeah, well, you've got to start thinking about what you're putting into your body. For example, those I know you were talking about an alternative soda, but your regular low or no fat. No sugar sodas are filled with aspartame, which is one of my other favorite beefs. And created by Monsanto is poison. We have another caller on? Oh, I thought we had another caller going in. All right, well, thank you. Nathaniel, I'm going to list now the toxins that are in the flu vaccine. Stay tuned and listen in, and thank you for calling in. All right, here we go. Here are some of the ingredients that are in all flu vaccines, in case you didn't know it. And this is just part of what's in the so-called vaccine against swine flu. You've got 25 micrograms of mercury. It causes neurological damage, even death, and it's also linked to autism. And, boy, how's that for a conversation? What an immense rise in autism we've seen in the children. With all these vaccines that they're being forced to receive. And that is the subject of the hour, the fact that we are being told we're going to be forced to take these or risk going to prison and fines, both, whatever. Imprisonment for not taking a vaccine? Does this sound like a democratic reality? It sure doesn't to me. All right. How about this? More of the ingredients. Aluminum hydroxide and phosphate, also known to be linked to neurodegenerative diseases, including, hello, Alzheimer's disease, pulmonary fibrosis, and long-term kidney dialysis for a lot of people that have a buildup of these toxins in their body. Dementia is one of them, even convulsions. Okay, they've got formaldehyde. We know that's a carcinogen. Yucky, yuck, yo. I've heard that formaldehyde turns your arteries and veins into gelatin. It has ammonium sulfate, a suspected gastrointestinal, liver, and respiratory toxicant. Sorbitol. Phenoxylophane, which is, get it right, antifreeze. Yes, yes. Oh, please, let's be blowing antifreeze up my child's nose. There's another one, beta-propiolactone. It's a carcinogen, a known carcinogen, and a suspected gastrointestinal, liver, respiratory, skin, and sense organ toxicant. It has gentamicin in it, an antibiotic. Interesting. I thought that viruses didn't respond to antibiotics. They have Triton X100 in them, very strong detergent. Ah, yes, and here is the part that really thrills me. They have animal tissues and fluids, including potentially contaminated horse blood, rabbit brain. I'm not making this up, eh? Dog kidney, monkey kidney, chick embryo, chicken egg, duck egg, pig blood, and pig protein tissue. There's more. Calf and fetal bovine serum, macerated cancer cell, diploid cell from aborted fetal tissue, and other ingredients, depending on who produces these different vaccines. So, and basically, what we're being told is potentially being forced to take all of that infectious toxic material into our main bloodstream. And by the way, here's another one. Somebody I was speaking to recently said, beyond the question of all these toxins, I'm not so happy about the idea of putting DNA of another animal species into my bloodstream. That is a very interesting thing to consider as well. The truth is that they still don't have any proof of the effectiveness of these vaccines. They are telling us that people, what we're hearing, and that won't even give us a clue to what's really happening, that people are getting sick from the vaccine. I'm hearing that animals are in the laboratories are dying from these vaccines. I mean, come on. Here's the question that I want to debate. What does it mean that we are forced, being asked to prepare ourselves for forced vaccines? What does this mean about sovereignty out of your own being? And another big question, what happens to the people that refuse the vaccine? How many of you are aware of what we're being told will be the alternative to accepting the forced vaccine? Well, here's a little answer for you. Supposedly, these people, which I surely will be one, are going to be placed in, what are they calling them? The word is escaping me. Quarantine, there you go. Quarantine center. I'd like to know a little bit more about these quarantine centers, wouldn't you? Who's running the quarantine centers? Yes. Homeland Security, you got it. Where are they? What kind of treatment will be people given in these quarantine centers? Since it's a forced answer to not accepting the jab. Where are they? How long will people be forced to stay? What will they be given when they're in there? Guess what? I'll bet $1,000. They'll be jabbed with the with the vaccination. It really stinks. Pardon my French. It really stinks, and we need to respond to this. We need to get active about it. More and more people are talking about it, but you very well may have to make a decision about this, so you better know about it. I forgot to mention another little item in this new vaccine is called, another toxin is called squalene. I don't know very much about this squalene. So if anyone does, please call in. Let's talk about it. But apparently, it has never officially been approved for a drug in the United States. Once before, it was allowed in certain military vaccines. More than 60,000 soldiers were hospitalized by what was called the Gulf War Syndrome. And a lot of people believe that the squalene in the vaccinations they were given had something to do with this. Now, hear this. This new vaccine, the swine flu vaccine, has literally, read my lips, 1 million times more squalene than the experimental military vaccine, which was known as Vaccine A. Are you hearing me? 1 million times more, according to my sources. I'd love to be wrong on that. So if you want to call up and say that I'm wrong, by all means do. But it's a pretty reliable source, coming from someone who is a medical person who is studying the situation and reporting on all of the characteristics and additives that are in these vaccines. 1 million more times than the dangerous military vaccine that we're giving to our children. Very interesting. Now, this flu mist, supposed to be a gentle nasal mist, a quick spray in the nostril, as Nathaniel was speaking about, and that's where the flu virus enters the body, supposedly to help your body develop proteins, antibodies, that protect you against the flu. Now, let me get this right. We're shooting live viruses up our noses? I really don't think so. So many people have gotten so violently sick when they've taken vaccines. And imagine how quickly this nasal passage, the olfactory tract, is a direct pathway to the brain. Don't you think there might be a risk of encephalitis or some kind of viral-induced acute brain inflammation? The truth is that what we're being told now is that there are no side effects so far, and they are using vaccines, testing them on the military to see what kind of responses they're going to have. Gee, we don't do enough to our military guys, throwing them out into the war zone. I remember in the days when they were thrown out on vehicles that had no protection. We don't take care of them when they get back from the war zone. And now we're using them as guinea pigs for untested vaccines. See, I hope if anyone's listening and is considering throwing themselves for the patriotic act into the war zone, to think carefully about your life and your family's life and the meaning of what it means to fight for who knows what. But definitely our military are being used, these guys are being used as guinea pigs to test God knows what unusual vaccines. And then, of course, do we count on getting the truth when the information comes back to us? Let's be honest. How much truth is coming out of the government? How much truth is coming to us from the Federal Drug Administration? The Food and Drug Administration. That must have been a Freudian slip. We know about the lobbies from the pharmaceutical industry. We know about the huge profits that are being made in the Tamiflu scenario. And now these vaccines, so fast. I mean, we haven't had time to even think this through, and bam, 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 vaccinate the entire planet. I don't like this, and I'm not going to do it. And I would really like for you to consider that when you... Oops! Line dropped! Well, there are a lot of storms out there. We'll take it, you know, as a sign that the universe... There's just stuff going on out there, but the line dropped, so sorry if you heard my sentence die and infinite space, but I'm here and I'm back. All right, so I was venting my feelings about the flu vaccine. And I also, before I go on to another topic, I wanted to mention that a lot of the scientists and the physicians and nurses are absolutely refusing to take it. There are people that work for these companies that are refusing to take it. I really want you to think about this. Think long and hard. It's a decision each one of us has to make. But it's a decision that could affect your life and the life of your loved ones and their health forever. And speaking of that, don't forget there are a number of incredible alternatives out there. You've heard me interview, boy, am I having trouble with the old brain today. I've talked about MMS, the miracle supplement that is Jim Humble, there we go, there's the name, Jim Humble developed for the cure of malaria. If you heard that interview or if you've heard of him, you know that he can absolutely cure malaria in 4 hours with this supplement, which he says can kill anything that's not supposed to be there. So I recommend that you look this up. It's called Miracle Mineral Supplement. I think there's a website called MiracleMineralSupplement.com. But anyway, all you have to do is Google that information. It is supposedly able to kill cancer. Now, I obviously can't verify this because I am not a doctor, and so I'm suggesting that you investigate it and hear what is said about it. But I can't declare it. I don't know. I am beginning to take it so that I can speak about it. Supposedly stops HIV, kills cancer, and any number of infectious diseases. So it would be a really good idea to investigate that and stock up on it in these fun times that we're going through. Great to have a little kit. I like to call it an emergency kit, which would contain colloidal silver, Nutrisilver, and most definitely a good supply Miracle Mineral Supplement. So find out about that. I really recommend that you investigate that pretty amazing supplement and what many say is a miracle cure for illness. It would be interesting, and I will be very sure, I'm sure that Jim Humble, who is currently in Africa healing people of malaria, will be talking to us soon. I just can't imagine he wouldn't be addressing the question of the swine flu and the effect of MMS on it. So stay tuned for that. I'll try to have him on my show soon. All right, come on, you guys, call on in. I need to talk to you. I need to hear you, what you think about the questions that I'm bringing up. And, of course, we're going to switch topics for a minute. And, by the way, topics that we're not really supposed to talk about. And one of these is President Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Hello? Now, I just can't digest this. Here he comes with all of his promise of change. He's in the office. In order for him to have received the Nobel Prize, he would have had to be nominated for it 11 days after he took office. Now, that really rubs me the wrong way. 11 days after he took office and he's already nominated for the Peace Prize? This is just, I think it's ridiculous. So, I mean, if you think of all the great, true peace leaders in our history, like Gandhi. I think he was nominated five or six times, and was never given this great award. You put in a guy like Obama, lots of promises, lots of war. One of the first things he decided to do was increase the pressure in Afghanistan right after he got into office. What has this man done to give him to qualify him as a peace leader. Is he going to potentially do things? I hope so. Does he deserve the Nobel Peace Prize? I really don't think so. I think that this is a slap in the face to us all, as all of we look, rethink and reobserve all of the structures that have mattered in our societies. I think we're going to have to let go of the Nobel Prizes pretty soon, because this is so clearly a manipulative political action. And I really do resent it. I'd love to have your comments about that, whether or not you can call in. You can always write to me at info@SyrianRevelations.net. But surely it is a topic that should somehow activate people to think about how the world is going and how we're being manipulated. Peace Prize. Give me a break. I don't like it. All right, what other big issues are... Ah, yeah. How about the bombing of the moon? Yes, it's true, as I've said to you before. Let's go destroy another planet. I know I'm being sarcastic today, but bear with me. It's meant to be tongue-in-cheek. You know, what's with this bombing the moon? I really would love to talk to some people who have some ideas about this. A lot of us have been so terribly concerned about it. The indigenous people are just heartbroken about it. Thrusting our rage. Yes, yes, the excuse, of course, is that we're looking for water. But they already know there's water on the moon. Come on. What do you suppose is really behind that? Now, there are some pretty interesting proposals out there, like, are we trying to evoke a galactic war? Are we trying to let know the ETs that are on the dark side of the moon that we are loaded and ready to go? I love all these ideas, and I'm willing to listen to all of them. I don't have any particularly fixed idea about it other than we know there's water on the moon already, so there's no reason to bomb the moon. And that there surely has to be a way that the human race can approach other civilizations, other planets, other worlds without violence. If you really think about it, here we go. We're off and running. One of our first entries into the celestial sphere is bomb. I don't like that either. And it's so interesting that the administration that ordered that bombing is, there he is, President Obama. He got his Nobel Peace Prize the same day they bombed the moon. Isn't that prophetic? Ah, geez. What do you think about that? What do you think about Obama's presidency in general? Do you really think he... I obviously am going back to the question that I just posed before. Do you really think this man deserves the Peace Prize? He has given the world's richest Wall Street crooks how many billions of dollars? These guys are laughing all the way to the proverbial bank as they exit from the rape that they've done to the system. Everybody's laughing in the hierarchy of CEO land. I just don't understand how these things happen. Not that I'm naive. I just don't understand it. Okay, let's see. I'm checking my notes here because I want to make sure I don't miss any of my key points on these subjects. There's been a lot of confusion about the success of this NASA moon bombing as well. Apparently, they didn't get the big reaction, the big bang that they wanted. It was supposed to kick up a 6-mile-high cloud of debris, which makes a lot of sense. And the scientists supposedly wanted to see water in that debris. But all they got was a little plume. think about that, investigate this, and find out what are you... Okay, now seriously, it is getting pretty weird there with the telephone interventions. Who are you that's interfering with my conversation? For goodness sakes, come on the air and talk. Come on. Okay, well, we'll wait for that person or that whatever is causing the phone to go zapparoony while we continue with the show. All right, now here's one that will really blow your mind. I've talked about the Morgellons disease before. How many of you are aware of this as well? This very strange illness that's been coming up with people reporting out unbearable itching and then little tubes popping out of their sores. This is increasing. Apparently there are filaments that have actually got like wires that are different colors, like an electric wire. A very strange little phenomenon. People report scratching themselves into hysteria and then these tubes popping out of their arms. If you have any information about Morgellons, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, there's a lot of more information out there now, even though the scientific community says it's a hype. More and more people are talking about it, and more information is available. So you've got the guy that introduced chemtrails, Carnicom. His website is www.carnicom, that's carnicom.com. You can check his site out for this kind of information and just investigate Morgellons in general and get information about this too. This is very, very strange. I think we've got some pretty dangerous biogenetic invented diseases that are afflicting us, and we need to know more about it. And isn't it interesting that in the last two, since we're talking about conspiracies, in the last 2 years, something like 43 of the world's top biogenetics geneticians have had mysterious and strange deaths. So something's going on, and we need to know more about it. Well, investigate Morgellons and have knowledge about it. I'm not suggesting that you should worry or be fearful of it. Just have knowledge about it so that if anything comes up that you could possibly help someone else with or yourself, you are informed about these inflictions. Something synthetic or artificial is affiliated with this Morgellons situation. And speaking of that and returning to, boy, I'm all over the road today, huh? Returning to the vaccine. Some people are really throwing around the idea that we've got some chips coming in, nano chips, potentially coming through those vaccines. In fact, Glenn Beck, who is a guy who I really don't know who he's working for, if you haven't had the pleasure of listening to him, he's on Fox News, kind of a patriot guy, but he does speak about a lot of things that have been very, very remote to media, the mainstream media until now. And I was listening to him the other day because I'm curious how he gets away with this. He was talking about the vaccine, and he was alluding to the question that many of us have as to, is this possibly a way that we are going to be receiving the nanochip, I have to say, the very feared chipping of a human race. He actually alluded to that. He talked about VeriSign, or is it VeriChip? Sorry, VeriChip and Digital Angel, I think is the name of the new company. And he was saying that this had been tried on animals but not on humans yet. Wrong. Over 2,000 people have agreed to insert this chip because it's so neato jet when they go to the disco and they can order their drinks simply by waving their arm over some kind of monitor. So it is happening. And some people think that this is a plan, that the whole human race is going to be chipped. Ooh, kind of spooky stuff. I don't like that. But I just keep going back to this question of this forced vaccination, the urgency of it, the campaign globally to let us know that it will be forced upon us, and that refusal to take it will resort in prison. I find that to be one of the most frightening and devious abuses of power that we have ever had to face after Hitler. In fact, imagine if Hitler had this kind of technology. Ooh-wee. So again, I'd like you to send me your concerns, write to me, I'm on Facebook. Let's get a dialogue going about this, and let's do something about it. Remember, our voice, the unison, is what can make change. Never forget, we can make change. There was something on a really good video on YouTube showing a lot of people rebelling against this, and it's just so refreshing to see that people have the courage to still get out there and protest. And if ever there was a time, now is it. So that's something that I can't speak enough to, this question of being forced or not, and what you're going to do about it, and what options you have about it. Because it's time to find that out. The media has been very sort of iffy about, one minute they're saying they're going to be forced, the next thing they're saying is that the vaccines are not available for everybody, so the most vulnerable will be the first to get them, and creating this sort of me-first hysteria in order to get us to line us ourselves up and line up the children. Oh, my God. Imagine spraying all of those horrific, toxic elements into the little nose of a little child. From 2 to 6, they're starting. Boy, I tell you what, you're going to have to think about that and be responsible for what happens in many ways. Take responsibility for your action and know that what comes about you're going to have to face that as part of your responsibility. So it's no lightweight thing, as we all know, and you really, really need to ask yourself over and over again what you're going to do when forced vaccinations come to your area. I just can't believe that we will be in that position. But it's looking more and more like we will be. As for all the deaths, I'd really love to see some records here. And we keep telling 10,000 people are afflicted, 2,000, 10 died. Who are these people? Is there a way that we can validate this? I would like to be able to validate this information. All right. Since none of you are going to be calling in, I'm going to cut the show short for today, because I really need your dialogue, and looks like not enough of you are courageous, maybe, enough to come on air and talk about your feelings. So I would like to remind you of a few of very exciting things that are coming up. First of all, my new book is coming out. Oh, I'm so excited. It's almost out. And for those of you that are my readers, thank you for pre-ordering the book from Amazon. It is expected to sell out before Christmas, according to the publisher, by the pre-sale. So if you'd like to get that book, please order it now so that you're not caught short while we get it reprinted over the Christmas period. It's called Where Pharaohs Dwell, One Mystic's Journey Through the Gates of Immortality. This is my first non-channeled book. I promise you an interesting, wild ride through the mysteries of Egypt. And speaking of that, my next Egypt sacred journey is March 10th to the 22nd. We are already well on our way to selling this out. So please, ding, ding, ding. Just got a message on my computer. Sorry, off the track. If you're interested in coming, it's going to be fantastic. I've managed to secure the Great Pyramid for private time and the entrance into the arms of the Sphinx for March 21st, equinox. How cool is that? So it's really an amazing accomplishment because there are so many people that are trying to have those very special times. So our group will be anchoring more DNA material inside the Great Pyramid March 21st. And if you're not with us, please be with us spiritually, energetically. I'll be putting the times of our, do we know them now? I think we've got a 4 a.m. entrance, but I will let you know that on my website, SyrianRevelations.net, and we're going to be asking everybody to join us. We'll be 50 people in there. We're going to be working for realigning a lot of the grids, healing the planet, sending the energy into the inner earth. Lots of very powerful things are planned for that journey. Can you make it? Would be great. It seems like they... powers that be are doing everything they can to discourage us from traveling and to make it harder for us to travel. And that is just not on. There's a beautiful world out there to see. There are some amazing things going on at the sacred sites. Have the strength of conviction and the dream and take yourself to these places. And if I can be your guide for Egypt and later in the year Peru, it would be my greatest honor to help you see what it means to open the gate. All right, everybody, I'm going to tune out early today. I thank you for tuning in. I hope I've stirred some desire to get more information, be knowledgeable. I've got a dear friend who tells me, Patricia, you really shouldn't think about these things. They're really upsetting and vexations to the spirit. And I told her the best way to avoid creating physical illness in your body is to work through, follow through any information, any thought, any emotion that upsets your balance. Let it come in. Let it go through. Watch it travel through and let it flow so that you don't get blocked energetically. If there's something you fear, you will create a block within you until you release the fear. So not looking at it and feeling afraid to talk about it creates a lot of illness and a lot of discomfort. And we don't need to do that. We're adults. We can look at the stuff. We can talk about it. We can think about it and then process it and free ourselves from it. But we do need to be open to consider some of these aspects of our lives, our society, for ourselves, for our children, for the planet, and for the cosmos. Because as I said earlier, going around bombing things like other celestial beings doesn't sound like a great way to enter the galactic family. As we know, many of us believe that this is a moment where the paradigm shifts and we recognize our membership in the Galactic Federation, the Galactic Family of Beings. And so what do? We go around, hey, here we are with megaton bombs. I don't like it, and I think that as a people we have to be able to bring this information up into mainstream. It just can't be that NASA and the Nobel Prize winning president for peace have carte blanche to take these actions. On the one hand, we all celebrated the fact that George Bush didn't get to put in his space wars mechanisms, and on the other hand, we're bombing the moon. Okay, I'm going to think about this too, and I will be writing about this on my site. I've got some new articles on my site as well. Please check it out. Again, www.syrianrevelations.net. I'm leaving for Canada in a few days. I'll be speaking in Montreal at a convention there with Lee Carroll and Tom Kenyon. That'll be exciting. And I will be at the Vancouver Expo, Body, Spirit, and Soul Expo, where I will be the keynote speaker on the 23rd of October. I'll be on a panel regarding 2010 and what's ahead of us on the 24th. And I'm offering my DNA activation workshop on the 25th.
We have a call.
I will have also a booth there, so come by and see me, booth 88, if you're in the area. It's the first time I've been on the West Coast in a long, long time. Okay, guys. Hello.
Wait, we have a caller.
Ah, before we go, I've got a caller. Hello.
Hi, Patricia. I just didn't, I wanted to keep you on the air a little bit longer.
Hello, darling. Who are you?
My name is Heather, and I'm calling from the San Francisco Bay Area. And
oh, my home!
Yeah, it's, and I've been listening to your interviews for a few months now. I wanted to say I got the Crop Circle movie, and
uh-huh.
I just absolutely loved it, and I hope we'll get more of those. I just had a question and a comment. I don't know if you're familiar with Project Camelot, but
yes, I am.
Yeah, they had a great you know, conference down in LA where you can stream link and listen to a lot of the lectures and stuff. And Alex Collier had a really interesting thing to say about the vaccine and how it will kill off or change our DNA.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. I highly recommend that, you know, people go and you can listen to them for free. Their interviews are awesome. And David Wilcock was kind of alluding to, he was also on Coast to Coast recently about disclosure. And I'm just wondering, I'm not familiar with your book, but what do you see, you know, as far as the information that you get with, you know, the interaction that's going to be happening, you know, with off-world beings and how that can affect our DNA and, you know,
well,
change our consciousness.
We have only a few minutes left, so I will interject. I got to answer you now. I won't be able to get the answer in for you. We are about to have, I think we're all pretty aware that contact is imminent. And there are a number of organizations that are calling the government to come clean, with disclosure. But it's imminent. We see it everywhere. We've got every kind of craft flying around in the sky and plenty of proof, including, of course, Roswell, which never goes away. The question is, there are two things to consider. One, we have support from other dimensional beings, which is I'm honored to be in contact with the Syrians at sixth dimensional consciousness. But I think what we're about to see is contact from three-dimensional beings from other worlds. And because they're three-dimensional, there will be dark and light interacting. So everything depends on how we act, how we behave. Bombing the moon isn't a good sign for sure. But as Stanton Freeman, who is a wonderful, wonderful a UFO researcher, said on one of my shows, and I said, come on, Stanton, come clean. What do you think is going to happen when we get global contact? And he said, well, Patricia, if we could just stop shooting at everything, we might have a chance for a wonderful merging of civilizations. That's what I think is coming. I think we are, there may be some difficult ETs out there, but I think by and large, any conscious beings that are trying this hard to communicate with what I consider a basically hostile environment, which is the human race, must be intent upon some pretty supportive and higher, I would like to think at least that they are of higher consciousness and that their job or their intention is to help us get beyond this type zero civilization where all we do is destroy everything. And I hate to be so across the board here, because of course there's so much beauty and wonder here, but coming from a perspective of a civilization that's coming down into the earth to try to make contact, it looks like a pretty violent place. So in answer to your question,
the current systems and structures are falling because they no longer serve the planet and all of humanity. And I'm sure some of the listeners are familiar with Cliff High and the WebBot project, but you know they put a predictive linguistical software program out on the internet, picking up information from chat rooms, knowing that everyone's psychic, and they're saying the powers that be are scared and they're going to do everything they can, you know, to control us on their way down. But
that's what the Syrians say too. The book No More Secrets came out in 2003, and basically the council said these guys, it's all crumbling. Back in 2003, and the book was channeled in 2001. It's published in 2003, and they said it's crumbling all around them. They're trying to hold up the dike. The worse it gets for them, the more they're going to squeeze you. And this is all part of the process, and just relax. It has to come down. And come down, come on down. We, the human race, are capable of incredible wisdom and incredible light. And I will sign out with that, because I have talked about a lot of problematic things, but let us never forget, never underestimate what human race is capable of. And let's rise to the occasion. Thanks, Heather.
Yeah, thank you for your heart and your consciousness and everything you're doing.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you so much. Please get in touch with me. You can connect with me on Facebook or on my site, because it's very clear you have a lot of very good information I would love to share with you next week. In the meantime, don't forget, you can sit in the little box of convention and where it's supposedly oh so safe, or at least that's what they want you to believe. Or you can soar beyond the matrix into the free thought zone, empowered with who you are, what you know, what you're capable of, and what your intention is. Ciao, tutti.